Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday. Here we are, 2nd of April. April already, 2012. Hope you had a great weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show, and today we begin our 11th month on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and we are simulcasting on KAPR AM 930 in Douglas for all of our friends in Cochise County in southeastern Arizona. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and then we post the show by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon at buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We launch on Mondays with the political face-off featuring one of our two teams of commentators, John Munger and Vince Ribago. Each commentator believes that he is a part of what he considers to be the A-team. Safe to say? No question about it.
It's the truth.
There's no denying it. There's no denying it.
Facts
are facts.
That's it. Then at 30 minutes past the hour, he is known as Tucson's venture capitalist. We'll talk with Harry George. Then 45 minutes past the hour, David Lappin joins us. He is the author of the critically acclaimed book, new book called Lead by Greatness. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. On the Monday political face-off, today it's commentators John Munger, Tucson attorney, former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010, and Vince Ribago, 2010 Democratic candidate for Arizona attorney general. The Monday political face-off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's is family-owned and run, and has been since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Well, according to the Gallup poll, President Obama has opened the first significant lead of the 2012 campaign in the nation's dozen top battleground states. There's been a huge shift of women to the president's side. Actually, the president is now leading Mr. Romney by 2-1 in the group among women under 50. Vince Ribago, do you think this has something to do with all the talk the Republicans were of the birth control and all of that?
I think it absolutely does. When you see sort of the social engineering efforts that impact women specifically, ranging from efforts, on the national level to efforts, for example, here in Arizona, where they're trying to push a bill through saying that if an employer provides contraception through healthcare, that the employer has the right to ask the woman about that. And so I think you see this both on a local and a national level that women. And I think it's going to be driving independents and even Republican women. They do not want their rights to be infringed upon. They see these as an attack on women. They are, I believe, in a greater sense, an attack on women's rights. And so, women would be well served by voting for the president. And that's why you see the shift in these polls directly after all of these efforts. So what you have is on one side, the GOP, the Republican Party, doubling down on social issues, trying to restrict women's rights, and you see women flocking to the Democratic Party, to President Obama, who are champions of fighting to keep women's rights protected.
John Munger, how does the Republican Party win the women back?
Well, I think the major issues in this campaign are going to be jobs and the economy, and I think that we've got a couple of candidates, Rick Santorum in particular, who has been talking about some of these social issues. The candidate who's going to be running as the Republican nominee, who is Mitt Romney, doesn't talk about those issues. Those social issues that Vince is talking about just aren't part of Mitt Romney's agenda in terms of, contraception. He doesn't talk about that. So I think this is a passing deal. I note that about within the last 2 weeks, Romney was actually ahead of Obama in polls consistently over the last month until this poll that happened this
weekend.
Yeah,
there's about a four. He's trailing Obama overall in this Gallup poll at about 4%. But you're right, it was very close.
It was very close. So, you know, it's a snapshot. I'm not very concerned about it. It isn't going to be the issues in the campaign. And it isn't what Mitt Romney talks about. So I just think it's a passing thing. I'm not very concerned about it, frankly.
Well, I think it's not just a passing thing. If you look at some of the action that's happening in Congress, and of course, you know, politics is local, and so this dribbles down every district. And if I'm not mistaken, just last week, for example, due to efforts by the Republican Party, Democrats were unable to reauthorize the Domestic Violence Against Women Act, provisions of that are to protect women. So you see there's a number of fronts here, and as much as Romney may or may not be talking about these issues, and as much as Santorum has been pushing that, the problem for the Republican Party is that Santorum has been surprisingly strong with a shoestring campaign. And those grassroots Republicans, including, you know, there was an article recently in Time about the resuscitation of the Christian conservative movement by Santorum, that is pushing the Republican grassroots base, and they are pounding that message also. And that's why Romney's having trouble locking up the nomination. So it's not a passing phase. Well, that's why women are concerned. That's why you're seeing the changes.
I'll just bet you that in the next couple of times we're on this show, we won't be talking about this. It won't be an issue.
And you think Santorum will be?
Santorum will be gone. He, you know, I think he's a fine guy, but he needs to get out. This point, we need to be talking about the president. I think the other thing that's happened is that the Republicans have been talking about themselves. That's inevitably going to result in pulling down the Republican favorables. It's only been in the last few days that Mitt Romney's been able to focus away from his Republican opponents and start talking about the president. The president's been out campaigning. He hasn't taken the heat that he's going to take in the campaign. So I just, frankly, Bill, I'm not concerned about it. I don't think these issues, I think this is a passing thing. I think the polls show it's a passing thing. As I said, a week, 10 days ago, the poll results were entirely different. And polls are simply a snapshot of a particular day. So I think that as we move on, we're going to see us getting down to the real issues. The president's going to be subjected to a true analysis of his record.
And Republicans coalescing around Romney.
That's right. I'm not very concerned about it, honestly.
Well, I would agree that the president certainly will be facing tough opposition. You're going to see substantial dollars spent by the Republican smear machine against President Obama. But the reality is here, the reason why this poll is significant is that we're looking specifically at swing states. So we're looking at those states that are up for grabs.
A dozen.
Correct. And to have a 9-point lead and to have such an even bigger lead among women of that age group after this repeated attack on women, I think you're seeing a shift. And they know, they're not going to just even if they're hearing about the economy, they're going to know what party this represents.
This is the most significant poll you have seen of this campaign.
I think at this point in time, I also have to agree with John, though, that polls are, at the end of the day, a snapshot.
Yeah.
And so you never know. That's why there's a lot of work that those who want responsible policies, who moderate Republicans, independents, and Democrats that do want to have responsible policies and want to support the president are going to have to work hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough battle.
Here's the problem. If a sitting president is only 9 points ahead in any poll, if that's the best he's ever seen, and that is the best he's ever seen, is this most recent poll. And it was just the opposite. I saw a poll a week ago where Romney was ahead by 4 points. So it goes back and forth. If the president's only ahead by 9 points and we haven't even begun to fight yet,
he's very vulnerable.
He's very vulnerable. I'm just not concerned.
Every election, I don't look at it that way. I think every election is its own election, and so I do agree with John that a poll is, you take every poll with a grain of salt. But it is significant, and when you're looking at where we're looking, swing states, the demographics of the poll, and I'm not saying that President Obama has an easy road to the White House. That's every battle is its own battle. So he's going to have to fight hard. But I'll tell you, these I think are very worrisome results for the Republican Party.
Coming up now on 12:15, that was Vince Ribago, seated to the left of me, and John Munger is to the right of me. This is the Political Face-Off. When we continue, the next topic on the table will be health care. And what if the Supreme Court does turn down the Obama health care mandate? What impact will that have on this presidential race? That's next when we continue with the Monday Political Face-Off.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go?
Travel hassles, long drives.
Expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
12:19. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's is at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. They've got all of your custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. This is the Monday Political Face-Off. Vince Rabago is with us, and John Munger. I'll begin with you, John, on this one. The Supreme Court, if the Supreme Court, John, turns down the Obama health care mandate, will that have a major impact on the presidential race?
Oh, absolutely. And I want to stress that I'm not making a prediction which way the Supreme Court will go on that. I think that they will strike down the mandate. Whether they strike down the rest of the bill, I don't know. But look, Obama's got done basically two things, his health care bill and the so-called stimulus package of, you know, what has turned out to be $5 trillion, and we still have an unemployment rate in excess of 8% when he predicted we'd be down to 6%. The stimulus has been completely unsuccessful. The health care bill, if stricken down, will prove that our so-called constitutional lawyer president doesn't understand the Constitution. And it's going to be a disaster for him. It will demonstrate that he is not effective. It not only will demonstrate that he has failed, but it will demonstrate that he's not an effective leader. After all, this was something they rammed down the throats of the country in the dark of night. Nancy Pelosi said we wouldn't know what's in the bill until we pass it. So it was passed without anybody reading it. And the leadership will be shown for what it is very, very lightweight. That's going to redound to his negative benefit. Now, even if the bill is not stricken down, you're going to have – if it's not stricken down, you're going to have a – not literally, but a revolt in the country, because people understand that if this mandate is stricken down, there is literally no limit to what the government can make you buy. They're going to be able to make you buy a house, because the concept is you have to have shelter.
That every American would have to have a house?
And they could predict, they could tell you what kind of house. They could make you buy a car. They could make you buy burial insurance. They can make you buy certain kinds of foods. There's no limit to it. And so either way, this is a disaster for him. And it will, if it goes down, his signature legislation and the purported leadership that he purportedly demonstrated in passing this will demonstrate that he's a failure.
Because this is the centerpiece.
Let
me first say, based on what I was just hearing, I thought we were on the comedy hour for a second there. You know, the burial insurance, mandate buying a house.
No,
I'll
they
tell
can do
you,
that.
You know, let's bring out the Oompa Loompas next, because that's just so far fetched.
So the government could mandate.
Absolutely.
No.
Yes, they could.
That's so over the top. That's why
I called it's exactly the basis. Look, Vince,
the reality is this. Let's talk about the reality of what we're talking about. I'll let him clarify if you want to.
Okay. Yeah.
Sure, go ahead, and then I'll
look.
Here's
the theory of the administration, that people are already in commerce on medical care, because someday they're going to need medical care, and that therefore they can regulate your future use of commerce by regulating it today, saying, well, even though you're not using it today or don't want to use it today, someday you'll have to use it. Well, that's true with housing. It's true with transportation. It's true
burial.
With
okay. burial.
Okay, so let me.
It's true
right,
with
knock
eating.
Down these,
all right,
so let
here
me
we
knock
go.
Down these Oompa Loompa straw men as they stand.
Yeah.
First and foremost, the reality is, and what he's talking about is when you can regulate, when you cannot regulate, and one of the arguments, not the only one, but one of the centerpiece arguments that is at issue before the Supreme Court is the Commerce Clause, and how far. You can regulate based on this idea that there is interstate commerce going on. So the central issue here is, does the fact that you have 40 million people that are not insured, does that sufficiently impact the already existing market of private health care insurance in such a negative fashion that we can say, okay, you either have to have insurance or if you so choose and you don't want to participate, you pay a penalty or a tax. It's one or the other. So there's an opt-out provision. And there is also this connection to the market. That, I believe, is going to be the tipping point as to whether or not this law is going to stand or going to fall. I believe the swing vote that's going to make this decision is going to be Justice Kennedy. I'm not going to predict either because, interestingly, you know, this was several days of argument. When the Solicitor General was arguing, it looked like, oh, my gosh, this law is going down, mm-hmm. you know, in a bucket, you know, on a handrail very quickly. But then when the other side was presenting their arguments, surprisingly, things changed the other way around. And so you can't really tell which direction the justices are going. I think there's a pretty clear split floor to floor philosophically, but I think it's going to come down to Justice Kennedy.
I agree.
So the
that.
Issue here is then, well, what other kind of mandates already are out there, and are there limiting principles? That's the issue here. We do know that we have several different types. We have payroll taxes. We have Medicare. We have Social Security taxes. These are all mandates. And let me give you one example, since we're talking about insurance here for a second, is the idea that if you're going to drive, you have to have car insurance. So there's all kinds of examples, in, admittedly in different contexts, where the government requires you to do something or pay a penalty. This is really no different, and those 40 million people that are a drain on the system, that is an issue that the Supreme Court's going to have to decide, is that sufficient to extend the Commerce Clause power here?
And let me explain, Bill, why—
Real quickly, John, so we've got two calls waiting.
What he's talking about is wrong. The Congress specifically did not pass this bill under the tax law. They said it was not a tax. So the tax laws that Vince is talking about, Social Security tax, payroll tax, those are mandates that occurred under the tax law. But the Congress said, no, we're passing this under the Commerce Clause. Now, he said the reason they could get away with the Commerce Clause is because people not buying medical care would affect commerce. Well, you could simply say, hey, people not buying houses pushes down the demand for houses. Mm-hmm. We want the demand for houses to go up, the price of houses to go up, so we can force people to buy houses or pay a penalty or buy cars.
Let's see if we can get these calls in. Ira, go ahead. You're with Vince and John. Go ahead, Ira.
Hi. Yes. I don't think that what John said is so over the top, in the sense that the way technology is advancing so quickly, there might become a device that would be considered indispensable, and we could be required to carry it. Perhaps something that would predict that we're going to have a heart attack.
Absolutely.
But it might be very, very expensive.
Absolutely.
And the government could say, well, look, this is for your safety, for your health. We're trying to prevent heart disease, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You could be required to have something like that. And there's any number of—
Burial insurance is a classic example.
Okay, well, thank you, Ira.
Here's where John's argument fails miserably. The difference between saying that you're going to force people to go out and buy houses and this is going to be a mandate is just so over the top. Difference is this. Let me explain it.
Don't call it names. Tell me why.
Okay, let me tell you why. Because when you are sick and you are uninsured, you go to get care at an emergency facility and we all pay the price. If you choose not to buy a house, simply put, no house is bought. There's the difference, that you're not a drain on other resources that are put into place to deal with medical emergencies. So to compare saying that there's going to be some kind of mandate to buy a house is just so over the top that it doesn't stand to reason whatsoever.
That's wrong, Vince. I mean, you have the government heavily involved in the housing industry, and the reason housing prices have dropped is not enough people want to buy houses. So the government could say, hey, you got to buy a house, or Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are going to be negatively affected.
Richard, we can squeeze you in here. Go ahead, Richard.
You bet, guys. One of the many problems with the mandate is that once it is mandated, and I believe it will be, and we are placed inside the bracketed exchanges, then the government can start to mandate insurance companies to raise rates for certain research and development projects.
Absolutely.
Within those exchanges. They're not going to mandate you buy a house so much as they're going to say you have to pay more for more research and development within the exchange yourself. This is a wraparound mortgage. This wraps around all of our existing
health insurance policy.
Thank you, Richard.
It seems to me that all these various arguments are good, strong arguments for having a single-payer health care system in this country. But I'll tell you what, this is why ultimately I'm not on the same side as John in concluding that this will be a negative detriment, even if it's struck down. Let me say why in about 30
seconds.
Here. The reality is who knows? People are going to realize that this was passed by Congress, not just the president, and they'll realize there are checks and balances that work. And they'll say, at least he's trying. Let's go at the drawing board again. I don't think it's going to have a devastating effect.
It was passed
either
in
way.
The dark and of the night by a majority Democratic Congress, rammed down the country's throat.
The Monday Political Face-Off, thank you, John and Vince, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge at moesgallery.com, specializing in custom frame mirrors. Moe's has art for your walls. They'll frame, they will hang, they will do it all. Concerning pictures, moesgallery.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Shootings today at a Christian university in East Oakland, California. Multiple deaths have been reported at Oikos University, but police aren't saying how many fatalities there are. At least four people were wounded. They're being treated at a nearby hospital. There's also word that a suspect has just been taken into custody by police. TV footage shows wounded people being brought out of the building and more gurneys being brought in. According to its website, Oikos University offers studies in theology, music, nursing, and Asian medicine. President Obama says he remains confident the health care law approved during his administration will be upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court, decision expected to be released in June. The Dow is up 84 points. More details at srnnews.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:34 on this Monday afternoon. When Southern Arizona business leaders think of venture capital, one name usually comes to the top, and that is Harry George, who has helped launch more than 60 companies so far. Among them, he co-founded Interleaf, a pioneer in desktop publishing. He was also one of the first three investors in something called E-Ink, which developed the technology that ultimately became Kindle. His company, Solstice Capital, is the only institutional venture capital firm in Tucson. He's also the co-founder of Desert Angels, one of the largest and most active networks of private investors in the United States. In 2009, he established a task force of nearly two dozen Tucson leaders to develop recommendations for the new economy, something called the entrepreneurial economy of Tucson. Mr. George, thanks for being with us.
Well, I'm happy to be here, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about how you're assessing the current business climate here in Tucson.
Well, you know, I don't want to try to characterize the overall business climate. Where I'm involved is with technology and life science based startups. And with respect to technology and life science based startups, the climate's better than I've ever seen it since I moved here and started doing venture capital about 15 years ago. There's more venture backable startups right now, maybe 12 to 15 high quality startups, and that's a lot more than we've had in the past.
What is this energy? What's driving this Southern Arizona bioscience industry energy?
Well, underlying all of this activity, of course, is the fact that the University of Arizona is a top 20 research institute, $600 million a year of research grants coming in, and our biggest players in the field, Ventana and Sanofi, these are the foundational elements underneath all this. But at the other end of the food chain, there's probably these 15 companies, including, you know, to name a few, Syncardia, which the company is the only company in the world that produces a total artificial heart, and companies implanted more than 1,000 of them, did $5 million 3 years ago, $10 million the year after that, last year $17 million, and looks to be heading toward $36 million this year. HTG, which has a better way of doing gene expression analysis, is beginning to hit its growth curve. And there's a good list of others, including Cancer Prevention Pharmaceuticals, Salutaris, Calimmune, Tempronix, MSDX. There's lots of activity, and I'm not sure that most Tucsonans are aware of how much startup activity is occurring in Tucson.
And you have backed many startups. What's the key to success for the startup?
Well, you know, in real estate, the maxim is location, location, location. In these technology companies, there are several keys, but one of the main keys is management, management, management. Because, you know, things change. Management has to be adaptable. Try to make sure that our entrepreneurs, there's a bumper sticker I saw, which is sort of a good maxim on this. Don't believe everything you think. And so management is key. They have to be able to adapt. Should be a team effort. You know, I like to compare a good team to a moon buggy. It's got to have not just one person, but like four big wheels on a moon buggy allows you to get over the rough terrain of a startup. The keys really for success of a startup are management, the product and market. Think of it as a lock and a key. You really can't evaluate a product without the market. Engineers have a tendency to look at how cool the technology is, but it's very important for them to understand the value proposition to the customer. And then a key element is barrier to entry. There has to be a sustainable unfair advantage. The world doesn't welcome new companies, so intellectual property is Solstice's preferred barrier to entry.
We're speaking with Harry George, who heads up Solstice Capital, the only institutional venture capital firm in Tucson. You started up something called Desert Angels. How is that doing?
I think that's going, you know, really well. The started up about 10 years ago. There were four of us that were really the founders: Larry Hecker, Jerry Sonnenblick, Ed Berger, and me. And initially, a lot of the investors came out of the real estate business, which isn't surprising since that's one of the biggest businesses in Tucson. Over the years, the membership now has grown to 70 members. And I would say, increasingly, the membership is made up of retired executives, many of whom retired early, from technology companies. And so if there's a company that's presenting, there's usually somebody in the audience that knows a lot about that that domain and has some good domain expertise. And we get some pretty good discussions. And what's most important is that in the last 2 years, the Desert Angels has put $6 million into 22 companies. And in the last 10 years, it's put $16 million into 50 companies. It's playing a major role in getting these companies launched.
You know, I think the public focuses so much on what the city and county is doing and what the economy of Tucson is based on what they read in the newspaper. But what you've been telling us here over the last couple of minutes is there's such a growth industry going on here with bioscience alone that really the economy looks like it looks very bright, the future. Would you agree with that?
I think especially in the biosciences. I mean, almost all of the deals I've done in the last companies I've supported and usually get involved with and taking a board seat, almost all of them have been life science companies. And again, this comes from the fact that that Tom Grogan was able to build a very successful business of Ventana, which continues today and under has been acquired by Roche, and this is a real anchor in terms of biotech in Tucson. Santa Fe also, Bio5, the University of Arizona. SCLC has recognized the importance of biotech and has formed Blixa, which is currently being run by, co-chaired by Leslie Tolbert and TJ Johnson, who runs HTG. And I think all of this activity is creating a virtuous circle.
And Oro Valley seems to be a center for this. Our friend Robert Davis, who is involved with Innovation Park, we're happy to have them as a sponsor. They're doing great things out there.
Absolutely.
Oro Valley, the future looks bright as kind of the synergy for bioscience?
I don't think all of the companies, biotech companies, are going to end up in Oro Valley, but it is definitely a center.
What's the future look like, though, for your Capital Solstice really being the only venture capital firm? Have others tried, or are you look like you're going to be the only one for a while?
Well, you know, you alluded earlier to the fact that I was asked to do chair a task force on a new economy for Tucson, and I'll get. I think I can best answer that by talking about the task force. In a nutshell, the point of the task force is that for the last 50 years, the growth, business growth in Tucson has been driven primarily by in-migration. You know, when you're moving from 300,000 to 600,000 to 900,000, that provides a lot of growth. But in 2009 and 2010, we had negative net in-migration. 2011 was roughly break-even. And Marshall Vest is predicting that the net in-migration positive number for the next balance of the decade will be less than 15,000. Per year, so 15,000 over a denominator base of population of about 1 million. That's not going to drive growth the way it has in the past. So, what has to drive growth? It's not rocket science. What has to drive growth is what's driven growth in almost every city. We have to build our own companies. We have to, and I'm not talking about small businesses, although some of these businesses start out small. I'm talking about gazelles, which is the economist's word for companies that can grow rapidly. And gazelles' primary jobs. The primary job is a job where, you know, you build something locally, but you sell it outside the city, outside the state, outside the country, and you're actually bringing wealth back into the community. And we took a look at this necessity to move in this direction as our primary growth And we looked at the key elements of what was what we had and what was missing. You know, the strength of Tucson is ideas. We don't have a shortage of ideas. We don't have a shortage of engineers and technical and technicians. We do have to generally import the chief what we call CXO level, the CEO, the CFO, the vice president of marketing, vice president of sales. Those generally have to be imported from out of state. But the biggest single problem, and the hardest one to correct long term, is capital. When we compare ourselves to our neighboring states, the venture capital in Arizona is a serious problem. We in 10 years ago we had about $200 million under management with three or four venture firms. Right now, today, in terms of venture firms that have cash available for investing in new companies, there's one, which currently closed down $30 million and is shooting toward $100 million. They don't do life science, and they typically don't do early stage, although occasionally they will. So that's a that puts us well behind Texas and with roughly, I can't remember off the top of my head, $6 or $8 billion under management. And Colorado and the task force report we have the actual numbers there.
Harry George, thank you very much for being with us.
I'm delighted to have been asked. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Harry George from Solstice Capital on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up now on 12:46. Stay with us on this Monday afternoon.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Well, your own greatness is your best, if not your only tool with which to change the way other people live and act. So writes David Lappin in his new book titled Led by Greatness. David Lappin is a rabbi and corporate advisor and a CEO of Lappin International, a leadership consulting company that helps organizations develop inspirational leaders and self-drive teams that outperform the competition. Rabbi joins us now in studio on the Buckmaster Show. Rabbi Lappin, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, Bill. Good to be with you.
Tell me a little bit about your background and what led you to write this book.
As I mentioned in the book, I really come from two different strains. We're business people. We're very prominent in our family, as were rabbis and spiritual leaders. And I always wanted to merge the two and to explore what happens to business results if we focus a little bit more on spiritual and human greatness than perhaps we've been accustomed to doing in the last few decades.
Spiritual greatness and leadership in business normally are not thought of in the same sentence.
You know, the word spiritual I use in a very broad sense, not in a specific religious sense or anything relating to any specific religion, but really to that part of the human being that is not tangible, that is not skills-based and quantifiable, that elusive part of the human being that really makes each of us who we are and different from one another. And our ability to access that difference is to me the core of competitive advantage. At the end of the day, what makes you different is what makes you valuable to people, and what makes your business different is what makes it valuable to people. So accessing that difference and that uniqueness is key to business success.
You explain in Led by Greatness that leaders can't change the people around them. They can only change themselves.
I've asked thousands of leaders where they rate the changing other people on a scale of easy to difficult from 0 to 10, and they usually say off the charts. And I think
trying to change the culture, right, of
a particular business. Really hard. It's hard to change your own kids, certainly once they're grown up into adults. So it's just tough. It's heavy. Why do something so hard? But when you change yourself, people respond. People react. And you've seen that a million times. You just put a smile on your face and people smile back, and you get angry and people look concerned around you. You're stressed and the people around you are stressed. So the ability to affect and impact the quality of experience of the people around you is so much more easy to do working on oneself rather than working on them. And some of the methods of doing that are what I've tried to outline in the book.
Could you elaborate a little bit on some of those methods?
Well, the first is to become quite conscious and aware of who you are as an individual, and that's the piece on authenticity, where we talk about spiritual fingerprint and the fact that each individual has what I call a unique spiritual fingerprint. And I've helped thousands and thousands of business leaders around the world develop and articulate their spiritual fingerprint. No two are the same, which is why I've called it a fingerprint. And that really are the core value drivers that inform your decisions, that are responsible for the choices that you make, certainly when you make them from a values perspective. And knowing what those are and knowing how to make decisions and choices from that space rather than from all the other tensions and pressures pulling around one is one of the core messages of the book.
The name of the book is Lead by Greatness, How Character Can Power Your Success. Rabbi David Lappin is with us. He is the author. You have an unusual background, both as a rabbi and a business person. How do you blend these two different perspectives in your work with leaders and organizations?
There too, because business is in essentially, as far as I'm concerned, about doing good. It's really about doing something for others. And I know business has had a bad rap in Hollywood and the media for a long time, and sometimes not undeserved. But essentially, if we get around to the essence of business, it's about doing things for other people. It's about providing services for customers. It's about providing returns for shareholders. It's about providing employment and a good working environment for employees. You're constantly doing things for others. And to me, that's what any faith is about. That's what any spiritual existence is about, is how do you become a human being more conscious of who you are and more able to make a difference to the lives of others and to the world in which you live. So to me, business and spirituality are very closely linked.
And you talk about core value drivers.
A value driver, I differentiate from a value because if 10 of us were to sit around, even if we were from very different cultures, we would probably have similar values. We would all believe in fairness and integrity and honesty and all the good things. But value drivers are the things for which you've actually paid a price in your life. The beliefs and the values that you've made some hard decisions for. And those are quite few. When we work with people, we find most people have 6, 7, maybe 8 of them. You might have 50 or 100 values, but you only have 5 or 6 values that really have driven the tough choices that you've had to make in your life. Those are those value drivers are what's really important to get in touch with so as to express your own authenticity as a human being.
And you call it a spiritual fingerprint?
We call it a spiritual fingerprint. Again, spiritual not because it's faith-based as much as it's non-tangible. It's to differentiate it from your physical fingerprint. Call it a fingerprint because the way we do it, actually, it looks like a fingerprint. It's done in concentric circles. Also because everyone is unique. It identifies who you are. It's unlike a fingerprint in that during your lifetime it can change. So major disruptions, an immigration, a divorce, a bankruptcy, a marriage, these are things that can shake a spiritual fingerprint up a little bit. So it's really a snapshot of where you are at a given time in your life. Surprisingly, they don't change that much during a person's lifetime.
What about your own spiritual fingerprint? You grew up in South Africa?
I grew up in South Africa and studied around the world, but only emigrated to the United States in 1997 when we brought the consulting business over here at that time. And sure, one's background impacts a spiritual fingerprint. I believe one's culture and heritage does, and one's life experiences. It took me a year to actually work my spiritual fingerprint out. The method we've worked out now for our clients and that I've outlined in the book enables you to do it, at least to have a first bash in a couple of hours. You revisit it and you rework it over time, but you get a fairly good picture of it quite quickly.
Is there anything that people can do right now to help them become better leaders? And you don't need to be a leader of a big company. I mean, you can be a leader of your family. You can be a leader of a small business. What can you do right now?
Absolutely. A leader is anybody who needs to influence other people's behaviors. And perhaps one of the most important things to do right now is to have a trusted friend who could be a husband and a wife or a close friend who can help you identify what we talk about as the gap between your ethic and your value drivers, between the way you act and the things you believe. We assume that we act in alignment with our beliefs, but a lot of the time we don't. And outsiders, friends, close confidants are people who are best positioned to say to us and to call us on that and say, hey, gee, if this is what you believe, there's some things you do that don't really align with us. Family members are great. Even children are great mentors in this particular areas. Because when we start closing that gap, when we become conscious of that gap and begin to close it, the power of our personalities and the authenticity of our being just exponentially grows, and we're able to impact other people much more effectively.
How about inspiring younger workers?
The new generation is such an amazing topic, and I do touch on it in the book.
You talk about the group born after 1983.
Yes, people born after 1983 cannot imagine the world without the internet. You know, you and I can kind of remember what it was like.
Yes.
We can imagine it, but
yes.
They cannot imagine what the world was like without the internet. And research shows that their minds are actually programmed differently, that the neuro passages of their brains are actually different. Their abilities, they're an amazingly energetic, creative group of people, generally speaking. And we need to be able to access that energy and that power. They respect people who've accomplished, and they expect people who are genuine. They don't respect status. So if you come at them because you're the boss, that doesn't mean a whole lot. But if you've achieved something in your life or you stand for something, they want a mentor like you.
What would you like the reader to take away from the book, Lead by Greatness?
That whatever you're trying to accomplish, you're going to do far better if you spend some time developing yourself as a human being and developing the people around you. People make the difference, and greater people make greater differences.
The book is called Lead by Greatness, How Character Can Power Your Success by Rabbi David Lappin. Rabbi Lappin, thank you. It's been a pleasure spending some time with you.
Thank you.
And the book is available on Amazon.com?
Absolutely, on Amazon.
Thanks a lot. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers & Rieger is the CPA firm of The Buckmaster Show, and that's going to do it for the Monday edition of our Buckmaster Show. We will be back with you from noon to 1 tomorrow right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Have a great afternoon. And remind you to listen this afternoon for more local talk with John C. Scott from 4 to 5. Have a great day.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.